Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 10th of July, Anno Domini 2010, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff to choose, nothing to lose. Let's start with the news. Microsoft. I know. Published the Microsoft Security Bulletin Advance Notice for July 2010, revealing a relatively light month for patching. This coming patch Tuesday will only have four security bulletins, but it's a crucial day for many IT administrators, as it also marks the end of support for Windows 2000 and Windows XP Service Pack 2. Of the four scheduled security bulletins, three are rated as critical, while the remaining one is important. Two of the critical security bulletins impact Windows, and the other two security bulletins affect Microsoft Office. The first one is for Windows XP in 2003 and fixes the Windows Help and Support Center vulnerability, which was published earlier by Tavis Ormandy in a much-discussed full disclosure move. He disclosed it without... he had told Microsoft. Microsoft had simply basically ignored him.
Told him that.
And then so he said, you know what? I'm telling the whole rest of the world. At which point, Microsoft showed some impressive turnaround time on that patch. The second bulletin fixed a problem in the Aero display driver component for Windows 7 and Windows Server through 2008 Release 2, which had been disclosed publicly earlier in May. The security bulletins themselves might be overshadowed by the expiration of support by Windows 2000 and Windows XP Service Pack 2. Many companies still rely on these archaic yet capable platforms. Continuing to use them beyond next Tuesday, though, will be a little like playing Russian roulette, because without support, the platforms become increasingly less stable and much more insecure. For businesses still using Windows XP Service Pack 2, the end of support means no new security updates, no new non-security hotfixes, and no access to Microsoft's product development resources. The solution, of course, is relatively simple. Simply apply Service Pack 3, which is still supported. Businesses still running Windows 2000 face a more difficult challenge. As of July 13th, 2010, there will be no new security updates, non-security hotfixes, or options to engage Microsoft product development resources, just like Windows XP Service Pack 2. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like to remind you, is this. I still use Ellipsis, and the choices are Windows XP Service Pack 2, Windows 2000, both, neither, and I have no earthly clue. So far, we have 44 votes, and neither is winning, because, of course, that also includes all our Macintosh and Linux-using friends. But right behind it, Windows XP Service Pack 2, and both is right behind that. Two people have admitted they have no earthly clue, and only one person is using Windows 2000 by itself. You folks are increasingly swinging in the breeze, and that's not a good thing. So you need to worry about what you're going to do. But when you're done with the poll, I know you'll have a lot more to say. Most of it will be rude. So underneath the poll, you'll find a yellow box. In that yellow box is a link that says, give us your opinion. It will take you to my website at asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Where you can enter your opinion. We've already got a bunch of them. Most of them are pretty much not polite, but that's what happens when you're allowed to be anonymous. You lose all politeness. Then come on back and see what we're doing there. But in the meantime, listen to us as we talk to you. Give us a call if you're worried about the end of life for XP Service Pack 2. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
You ready for this?
No.
Here it goes. Here it goes anyways. I had a customer literally bitching and complaining because... he still, you know, is using Windows 98, and the machine keeps getting infected, and doesn't understand. Microsoft sold the product, so why shouldn't they just keep supporting it? And all these other folks that just drop it just because they think everybody else should move on. It's like, well, it is Windows 98.
You know, here's the
how long do you give them? Exactly. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
Right. Here's the thing. If you owned a 1937 Dodge, you would be proud of that, but you would not expect the Dodge Motor Corporation, if they still existed, to fix it for you, to warranty any repairs. People understand that. They get an X-year warranty, and they're done, and that doesn't seem to bother them. But with computers, just because this operating system is 12 years old, they expect it to continue to be supported as if it were a brand-new operating system.
And then gets upset then, you know, why other software manufacturers are doing the same and not supporting, you know, like his antivirus program and everything else that, you know, but, you know, it's getting attacked. Well, yeah, you got to move on. Well, that's stupid. I paid for it, and I should have it as long as I'm using it.
You paid for it 12 years ago.
That's right.
Yep.
You know what?
You try to tell them, you know. Well, like they say, if you try to argue with idiots, they only beat you with their experience.
Right. They drag you down your level and beat you with experience. Yeah. Exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and you just got to move on. And
it's very frustrating.
It's so slow.
And you don't want to consider needing to buy a new computer because this one's working just fine, except for that one little thing.
Oh, on top of
the fact that it's not secure at all.
On top of that, you know, I wound up, I was just getting so GD frustrated with the thing because they're still using dial-up.
There you go.
Having trouble getting down their messages, and they belong to this one group or one organization for their dial-up. So I quick hooked it up to my network and said, don't dial. And started to continue to download over 7,000 messages.
Nice.
They got, you know, so much stuff up there, and they're going, well, I can't get my Outlook to work. It won't do it, and I'm not getting my mail. Well, yeah, you're not staying.
It's one thing I've always hated about Outlook and Outlook Express is their progress bar isn't that good. It looks like it's not. If at least count how many messages and say one of 8,000. Okay, then I know. Two of 8,000. Three. But it just sits there looking like it's not moving.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and this is one of the problems with dial-up to begin with. Back in the day when email was just text, you could download it pretty quick. But nowadays, it's everybody's got to have pictures and everybody's got to have fancy fonts, and that all takes a lot of space. And then they're also, you know, God forbid they don't send you 23 or 24 in a row cute pictures of babies and kittens. And so you've got to download all that. Well, maybe that's okay if you've got a 10 megabit connection. But nobody thinks of the people still on dial-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really,
they're hosed.
It's inconsiderate and just kind of low class. I'm sorry, it just is.
Oh,
to not bother to think about those people. If you're going to leave them on, take them off your mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
Or think about them before you send them stuff.
Yeah, but they don't. That would take, like you said, some thought.
That would take some thought, and nobody does that anymore.
Well, it's right up there with, and we've gone round and round and around on this topic, that folks get too GD click happy.
Yeah.
Well, did you read it? Well, no, I just went ahead and said next, next, next.
Yeah, what was the error message? I just said okay.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Now I can't help
you. How am I supposed to know? Well, it said, you know, it's so generic. It's like, that doesn't tell me squat. I need to know what was going on. Well, no, I clicked so fast through it. I said, well, then call me again when it does it.
I actually stopped to get a nice tea for the show. And some guy in the store stopped me and asked me a computer question. I lost all my icons. Okay, what were you doing? Nothing. Then your machine is broken. You have to take it somewhere. Well, I think I was doing something, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Yeah.
But I still can't help you. If you don't remember what it was, I can't. I can give you a couple of ideas of what to look for. Like, did you sweep them all into the trash?
Or did you right-click on the screen and say hide icons?
Right. So I gave him a couple of things, and we'll see what happens. But what am I supposed to do?
Well, I had another client literally saying his machine is really slowing down and can't understand why. And he can't find some stuff. So Sam goes, look at Dave. I come over and look at the computer. And holy mackerel. There was a picture behind
Yeah.
You couldn't see the thing.
I know those people. I know those people.
There were so many darn Word documents on there. I sat there and created a folder.
Yep. They don't like that, though, because now it's two clicks.
Now I dragged all those in there.
Four.
And I said, okay. Now she goes, yeah, but where's the rest of the icons? I go, and I did an auto arrange. Bam, the screen filled back up with all these documents. I grabbed some more, shoved them in there. Boom, the minute I jumped them in the file, they kept filling up. We wound up going through four screens of putting Word documents, and then finally his Outlook showed up on the desktop.
Yep. I keep telling people, yes, I'm a wizard, but I'm not a saint. I do magic, but I don't do miracles.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to understand the difference.
I had one this week that was similar. The icons disappeared, but the name of the icon was still there. And when you try to click on it, it disappeared.
Nice.
That was fun.
Cool.
I haven't figured that one out yet. I think it's damaged.
Internet Explorer?
No, it's on the Mac desktop.
Oh, it's a Mac issue.
But I'm thinking it's director damage. But he was using an encrypted home directory, which I think is corrupted. One bit in the encryption fails, you lose everything.
Yep. It really is a tough thing for everybody. I get that. You know, you don't want to have to answer computer questions because most of the people who run their machines are not, in fact, system administrators. They're users.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have to administer their machines. Right. Well, the problem is, whether you like it or not, you are one. And if you can't figure out how to administer it, well, then you're pretty much, what's the word I'm looking for, screwed.
Well,
we went to see the original Tron at the Dryden Theater last week.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to go.
It was really good.
Getting
ready for it, how young Jeff Bridges was.
Yeah, Bruce Boxleitner.
And we're getting ready for the new movie coming out.
Well, again, it's right up there. You know, you go to get into a client's email because they want you to correct an issue, and it comes up and it wants a password. And, you know, you call out and say, what's your password for your email? I don't have one.
Yeah, right.
Yes, you do. And it wants it. Well, I don't know. Can't you figure it out? No. You've got to call and find out. Well, can't you do that for me? No. I am not you, and they're not going to give me your password to get into your account. You have to call and go get it from them or have them, you know, reset it. Reset it to something generic and then go back in and be able to reset it to whatever
you want. Our faculty got very angry at one point because we run our own email system, but some of our people use the main email anyway at RIT, and they changed the policy. It used to be I knew all the people in the help desk, and I could just call up and say, look, I got a faculty member, forgot their password, can you reset it? I'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that anymore. They have to go and show their their ID. So they get really angry about that, and I can't, you know, you can give me your ID, and I'll take it over, but I really don't look like you, and they won't do it for me.
That's the ultimate social engineering, and we hear about this all the time, where, you know, I call up somebody random at a company, you know, and, hi, this is Steve from tech support, I need your email password. Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I see.
I got one of those calls once.
Yeah.
They said, hi, I'm you know, what Joe, whatever it was, from tech support, and it seems to be a problem with your email. I went, really? I said, I need your password. I said, you're Joe from tech support. He said, yeah. I said, I run tech support, and I don't have anybody who works for me named Joe. Click.
Yep. I get those emails all the time. You know, the support team at Jesse Group says you need to do this.
Or the email, the administrator from NRIPC.
Yeah, right. Wow, I've been sleep emailing myself.
I didn't know the administrator was setting up because I hadn't set up an administrator account.
And I get that a lot. You know, they'll find your address. They find your website, and that's really all it takes. You know, nickf.com or asknick.com. And that's all it takes. Then they start sending things out from every conceivable address at that thing. And I know that I'm not hacked because I check every time I check. And I'm running Linux, so it's easier to check and to figure out what's running and blah, blah, blah. But, and I check the server, which is also running Linux. So I know I'm not hacked. All that's happened is somebody's found the domain name
yep.
and is now sending stuff out with that domain name. And mostly they're being sent to me, so it's not that big a deal. You know, I throw them all away. I mean, I know I didn't send myself email, so pretty much we're done.
We've had a couple of customers in the last few weeks get hit by mass mailing viruses in their friends, and all the bounce messages come back to me, the customer, because that's who they're sending their name in.
Right.
So, yeah, so my computer gets infected and picks Nick's name and sends it all out as Nick, and so people are trying to be nice and bounce back, oh, you've got a virus to Nick.
Yeah, right.
Who then
panics
and tries to scan his machine, and it's perfectly fine because it's faking the messages.
Yep. About half the questions I get really these days are that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I must be infected because people say I'm sending them email. Probably not you. Certainly you should dance the tango, but it's probably not you.
It's probably someone you know.
Well,
how do I stop it?
But the one thing I've told folks countless times over and over again, if you have to even think about clicking on an email, then don't.
Right.
Well, and that's the problem. They don't think. They just click.
And how hard is it to hover over the link and look at the bottom of the screen where it shows you what the link actually is? And you see they don't match. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm Steve Wozniak, and you're listening to Soundbites.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I love jazz, so I spend an outrageous amount of time listening to Jazz 90.1. It's my way to stay in the loop with the local jazz scene and the local musicians. And I love the specialty programs. They're programs that I cannot find anywhere else. With Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages, I can listen in and stay tuned in with the local jazz scene from my computer and my phone, too. I jump in on the exclusive contests and chat up with people who believe in the music. You can, too. Visit jazz901.org and click on the icons to visit Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages. That's how I take jazz further, with Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. The answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy, with locations in Brockport, Chi-Lai, Gates, and Webster. Agape Physical Therapy offers customized exercise programs for those who suffer with arthritis, back, knee, and neck pain. Each of Agape Physical Therapy's 4 locations stresses a group approach to treatment and is staffed with a doctor of physical therapy or a McKenzie specialist to ensure the most effective therapy. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. You can help today. Support your local Red Cross.
Jazz 90.1 apparel is available online. Whether it's a long or short sleeve t-shirt, half zip fleece, hooded sweatshirt, or baseball cap that you're looking for, you'll find it at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Here we go. Don't look now, Apple fanatics, but Android's just made another noteworthy leap in mobile market share. Google's Android platform grew by 44% from February to May, according to a report released Thursday by ComScore. During the three-month period from December to February, Android commanded an average of 9% in the U.S. phone market. In the next three-month period, from March to May, it shot up to an average of 13%. Now, it goes without saying that 13% is still a relatively small piece of the pie, but the overall trends are what we're watching here. Engaging by a wide range of data from numerous sources, Android is showing consistent growth at a pace its competitors can't match. For anyone who keeps an eye on mobile market trends, the pattern is quickly becoming familiar. In most time periods and by most measures, Android makes a healthy jump, RIM shows signs of slipping, Microsoft takes a hit, and Apple stays steady or experiences a modest drop. In the case of the latest data from ComScore, Apple lost about 4% of its U.S. market share, falling 1 point to 24.4%. Of course, these were the months leading up to the release of Apple's iPhone 4, so it's not really a big shock that the sales were low. All right, so what about the iPhone 4? Will it suddenly shoot Android into oblivion and help Apple regain its position as the de facto standard? Don't hold your breath. Yes, Apple sold a lot of new iPhones in those first weeks, but it only makes sense that most of those early buyers were diehard iPhone fans who, statistics show, already owned iPhones. Dropping one iPhone and picking up another has no impact on the overall market split. The reality is that new high-profile Android handsets are hitting store shelves practically every month. Handsets like Motorola's Droid X, the multi-carrier Samsung Galaxy S, and those are attracting an awful lot of new customers. Last month, Google said it was activating 160,000 new Android devices every day. And that was before the Droid X had even been announced. Older Android handsets are slowly but surely starting to receive the Android 2.2 upgrade, giving them fresh life as well. In order to reverse the shifting market share trends, Apple's iPhone 4 would have to outpace the growth of that entire ever-expanding fleet of Android phones. So our question for you, do you have more friends with iPhone 4s or Android devices? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And of course, added to that is the one report mm-hmm. of an iPhone 4 bursting into flames.
Did they get it on tape?
They have a picture of the aftermath. It didn't seem to have burst into flames. It got so hot that it melted the plastic around the connector that was charging it. And of course, now the stories are all over the, you know, Apple iPhone 4s burst into flames. They'll set your head on fire. Don't talk, blah, blah. The reality is that every single phone out there has some defective units.
As do laptops and PCs.
The iPhone 3GS had a couple that set on fire. The iPhone 3 had some. The iPod, every single model of that had some that set on fire. One fire does not, in fact, make a trend.
Well, it's just like hair dryers. They're well known for catching on fire because of the heating element, and you know, you got hair there. All of a sudden, you know, it could pull it in and...
We're trying to cram so much power into such a little space that these new battery designs, the energy density is so high that sometimes it's a little too high.
Well, and that's the problem. That's really one of the big problems with the iPhone, of course. You can't change that battery yourself. If my battery starts showing signs of overheating and warping, mm-hmm. I just go buy a new battery and replace it. With an iPhone, you have to send the whole unit in. And you're right, when they try to cram that much power into that small a device, you're going to have a significant number of those that are going to have some sort of problem.
Yep.
I wonder why they did make it that difficult. I mean, you know, to be able to just,
Well, their technical reasons that they've given are that they... They don't want to have the mechanism for a removable battery because that cuts the clean lines of the device, you know, to have seams and screws. But then they're saying it's for the green factor. When most people replace batteries, they just throw them away, and you're not supposed to do that. So they recycle the batteries properly.
To put it politely, mm-hmm. eyewash.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
I got swampland for them, too.
That's just so much bushwa. The reality is this. It looks sexier without any sort of seams, and that's really apparently all that mattered.
Although we are hearing that the iPhone 4 has two little screws on the bottom, and it does seem to be fairly easy to get to the battery. There's no official word on whether it's user replaceable or not.
Right.
Even when they say it's not, it is.
Well, all you have to do is remove that exposed antenna, and
yeah,
and there you are.
See, even on Apple's laptops. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
On Apple's laptops that have a non-user replaceable battery on it, it's just a dozen screws you take off and you can get to the battery. But they've started using tricky screws on the battery itself. I had to scrounge all over the city for a number 0YYY.
Nice.
And what was the other one? A Torx Tamper Plus 6.
See, I can't imagine buying a machine where I can't replace the battery.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Although I felt so stupid the other day. I don't know why. We have these laptops at work, Toshiba T4220s, and they're great, great laptops. They're tablets, so you can swivel the screen around and lay it down flat and write on it. And it's one of those things where you can pull out the CD-ROM drive or the DVD drive and throw in another battery.
Yep.
So I had done that because the internal battery was dying. So I bought a new one, and one of my techs brought it over and said, your battery's here. So I handed him my machine. I just had it in my head that he would have to take the thing apart, and I was really too busy at that moment to do it. And he gives me this look and sort of shrugs, sit down, turns it over, pops the old one up, pops the new one. I went, oh, I am such an idiot.
No, that's why you're
such an idiot.
That's why you have minions.
I just, yes, that is why.
Hey,
but he looked at it and then he kind of handed it.
They're not to question what you asked them to do.
Right.
Do it.
And then he didn't. He just kind of handed it back with this look in his face and he said, I'm really sorry. I thought this one had an internal battery and I'm really too busy right now to change it. He went, I thought it was a little odd that you didn't just flip it over and, you know, flip the little lever out of the way and pull the battery out.
Well, that's the first 20 seconds of trying to look at one of these laptops is which door's the battery, which door's the RAM, which door's the hard drive.
Yep.
Well, I had a Sony Vaio the other day. The RAM and battery were really easy, but the hard drive was under the keyboard.
Yep.
So you got to take the whole keyboard off.
Yep. Right, or actually over the keyboard if it's upright.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is a problem, and I had and I've been playing with half a dozen laptops that week, and I got confused as to which one had the internal battery. And so I just handed it to him, went back to what I was doing. Look, and this real slow sit down, and this real slow.
Hey, gave him something else to do, you know.
So, Murph, if you're listening, I again apologize.
No, Murph, next time, take at least an hour.
Yeah.
Do they wait an hour.
Yeah, take an hour, go to lunch.
Do they get paid by the hour or by the job?
Oh, Laddie, you didn't tell him how long it would really take, did you?
How you supposed to get your reputation as a miracle worker?
Yeah, you should have just grabbed it, said, okay, I'll be back later.
This week in Bad Accents, brought to you by.
He could have changed it as he's walking out to his car, put it in his car, going out to lunch or an extra long break, come back and say, here you go.
Right, and then he writes down in his timesheet 2 hours to change battery. I would have gone, yeah, that's right, until some other point where I happened to look at the bottom and went, wait a minute.
Hey, you didn't ask him how long. You just asked him
No, my guys are astonishingly good. I've been very lucky over the last dozen years. The people we've had one guy who wasn't entirely up to snuff, and every single other person I've hired has been a miracle worker. I've been very, very lucky. So I'm very pleased. I've had good people over time. And if any of them are listening right now, $5 will do it. Just put it right in the mail. That'll be good.
That's a week.
What?
A week.
Yeah. No, for every mention. So I'll say it again next week. And
yeah,
like that's how I do it. That's right. I got enough old minions that, except those of you working at Microsoft and Google, you can send me phones and everything else. Just send me stuff. You don't have to put $5 in an envelope. Just send me things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, where was it? I heard that Fios might be coming through.
Yeah, I heard that.
They're still
Verizon was testing their Fios network. They have a 100 gigabit backbone, is it, or 1,000 gigabit backbone? And they were able to get 1 gigabit to the desktop.
I'm hyperventilating.
They typically only sell it at 50 megabits. So they were able to get 1,000 megabits to the desktop. And basically they were saying, yeah, we've got enough bandwidth here. We can, no problem.
Yeah, but what are they going to charge us?
Well, the 50 megabit isn't outrageous with other services.
Dude, it's 50 megabits.
Yeah, but let's put it relative to third world countries.
So give me 30.
Yeah.
But I still want it at the third world. Hello, third world countries have cheaper internet and faster service than us here in the U.S.
That's exactly
that teased me off.
Did you hear what Telstar in Australia, which used to be owned by the Australian government, but then it got spun off as the Australian ISP? They just made a deal so that the Australian government, for something like $11 billion, is buying back all of the copper wire. And deprecating it.
Nice.
We're not going to bother using copper wire anymore.
It's all fiber now.
All going to fiber and
God
wireless.
God love them. Cheese and crackers.
So, and that's part of our problem here is AT&T's got 100 years of copper wire running around and until it all gets replaced with something better.
You know, that ain't going to happen. They got to
keep
paying their shareholders more and more money, want more and more, and meanwhile the services keep going down and down.
Over on the IRC chat, Archandra says 50 megabits by 5 megabits, 50 meg down and 5 meg up, is something like $90 a month from Fios. That's not terribly expensive for that speed. And Drach says even if you can't afford Fios, you can still reap the benefits when the cable DSL providers get worried and shape up due to the competition. And that's very true.
That could cause more competition, a lot more,
which
would be great.
Right. If I'm paying, you know, $30 a month for 10 megabits versus $90 a month for 50 megabits, I have to do the math to see if that's useful to me. But if I've got a house full of people playing games and watching movies, I mean, if I'm, you know, if I've got three different people on Roku boxes or downloading movies or streaming Hulu or Ustream or whatever, 50 megabits is really going to help me out a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
So people are going to look at it, you know. We'll see.
That's one thing the government's been trying to do. There's a broadband.gov website where you can report your connection speed.
Yeah.
And they're trying to develop a national broadband plan to get everyone in the country on broadband. But it's very tricky for rural areas. You know, you get more than 10 miles outside of a city, and now it becomes very expensive to lay wires. And in most of those outlying areas, you're limited to satellite. And satellite is really slow and really expensive.
Well, just have him talk to Al Gore.
Exactly. Yeah. I have friends all over the U.S. and in the wilds of Canada who can't get anything but dial-up. And the dial-up is even slow.
Yeah, we have a lot of customers with lake houses. And so they go down to the lake, you know, during the summer. If you're at the north end of, say, Canandaigua Lake, you know, near Canandaigua City, you're pretty well set. They've got high speed there. But sort of the farther south you go, the slower and slower and slower it gets.
Well, doesn't Canandaigua have Wi-Fi all around the city?
Ontario County is putting Wi-Fi through the city, and the city of Canandaigua itself has Wi-Fi through the city. Yeah.
Now, is it free, or is it like Rochester, a monthly charge?
I don't remember offhand.
No, because Rochester's got the Wi-Fi. But
The city of Canandaigua has been running fiber, and then anyone who wants to be an ISP can become one and use the city's backbone. I saw an interview with one of the county commissioners talking about that a few weeks ago. But then in other cities, especially larger cities, as soon as the city decides to get into the broadband business, Philadelphia was one of the first big examples. The city was going to run broadband for its residents. The local cable company and the local phone company sued the city to stop it because they didn't want the competition.
We should probably look at getting somebody from the city to come on and talk about their wireless.
Could do that.
That's just a thought.
What's interesting is that Roadrunner is now starting to bring their Clearwire 4G service, which is a wireless cellular internet service. Rochester is one of the early cities that's supposed to be included in 4G. You may have seen the commercials for the Sprint Evo 4G phone, the first 4G cell phone. 4G is only available in 10 or 12 cities at the moment. Commercials have been running for Time Warner, starting to talk about their 4G wireless network. So wireless is convenient because you don't have to string wires, but it's relatively slower than a wired connection. So you have your wired backbone to different trunks, and then you run wireless out from there.
And, of course, you also have to worry about security on a wireless network. You really don't want to be sending your username and password in the finance. Clear to anybody.
That's one of the big things I'm so annoyed at the news media about, the Google Street View Wi-Fi data collecting mess. Everyone is blaming Google for collecting passwords. You should have secured your network.
That's exactly
You're
right.
Broadcasting yeah. your passwords. You're broadcasting your files in the clear. It's not Google's fault. It's the individual people's fault for not...
And the way they set it up.
Yeah.
Right. It has always bothered me that people don't seem to think about it. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in a coffee shop or whatever, yeah. and watched people open up their laptops and start typing stuff in. And I know they're not thinking, maybe they're going someplace that is secure, but I know they're not thinking about it.
Yeah, even anybody with no hacking skills at all can open My Network Neighborhood.
Right.
And mm-hmm. click on your computer and see your files.
Yep. Assuming you haven't locked your machine, which you should.
Right. Yeah, but by default, it isn't locked.
And that's a terrible... That Macintosh is a terrible, terrible machine for that. You buy it, it automatically opens itself up to the world. Unless you actively close it down, you're open up to the world. I open up My Network Neighborhood, mm-hmm. and I can see 50, 60 Macintoshes on my system.
Oh, really?
And I can go into 90% of them and wander around shamelessly if I want to.
It gives you a default public folder that's shared to the network, yeah.
It really is not good.
And it's that catch-22 between making it easy for customers to share their data and hard for the bad guys to see the data being shared.
Right. Right. All you have to do is encrypt it. All you have to do is not is say, don't share my stuff publicly.
Yep.
How hard is that? All right.
I see 199 computers on this network.
Is that all?
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 accepts vehicles. That's right. You can donate your unwanted vehicle to Jazz 90.1, have it picked up, and receive a tax deduction while we get cash to keep the jazz going strong on Jazz 90.1. If you would like to support Jazz 90.1 by donating your old vehicle, call 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Donating your old vehicle, another way to support Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Here's another I Love New York travel tip.
A great New York State tradition continues this summer as historic Saratoga Racecourse hosts its annual meet from July 23rd through September 6th. In addition to the finest in horse racing, the Saratoga Springs area is also home to many fine cultural and recreational activities. Enjoy world-famous musical acts at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. Tour the National Museum of Dance and take advantage of the best in fishing and water recreation at a number of local lakes. For more information on Saratoga's 2010 meet and other area attractions, visit the I Love New York website at iloveny.com or dial 1-800-CALL-NYS. That's 1-800-CALL-NEW-YORK-STATE. A sure bet. Another reason I love New York.
Have you been wanting a Jazz 90.1 long or short sleeve t-shirt? Half-zip fleece or hooded sweatshirt? The dark navy color with white logo is good-looking and tasteful. And you can find them all at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org. Wearing Jazz 90.1 apparel makes it easy to let the world know that jazz is your music and Jazz 90.1 is your station for jazz. There's also a navy Jazz 90.1 baseball cap to complete the look. You know, you might find just exactly what you want when you check out the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
He is Steve Ray. And 43 minutes after the hour, we have Jim from Gates, New York, on the line. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. Actually, I have two questions, but the most important one is my girlfriend is in the market for a laptop. However, her criteria is that it be, you know, very, very light, maybe around 2 pounds or less because of all her traveling.
Yeah.
So if you were going to recommend some direction to head, what would be a cost-effective one? And then what might be one if money was no object?
What is she going to do with it first?
Business, she needs to put a VPN client on it. She's going to be doing document editing on the road, spreadsheets, things of that nature.
A netbook could do what she wants, but it's...
Yeah, it's going to be a little weak.
It might be a little weak for that.
Presentations.
Mac or PC?
She'd prefer PC, but she's not adverse to a Mac.
Because there are some fairly light Mac models.
The MacBook Air is the specific target for that one. Very, very light. Trying to bring up the weight on it right now.
While he's doing that, I will tell you that I have seen, and I didn't send a non-disclosure, so I guess I can talk a little bit about it. There's a new Toshiba model coming out in September that essentially is, it looks like a MacBook Air, only, of course, it's a Toshiba, so it runs Windows. And it's a couple of pounds, maybe 2 1/3 pounds, maybe. Very thin, very light, 13-inch screen. It's supposed to have a 9-hour battery life. Which, of course, I haven't seen that because I've only seen the prototype. And so, you know, it might behoove her to wait for what comes out in the fall before she really makes a decision. Because up until now, people haven't been, manufacturers haven't been that concerned about lightweight and high performance. But with a lot of the new chips that are coming out, Intel has some extra cool chips in terms of heat stuff. And so she might want to wait until September to see what the manufacturers are coming out with. I specifically know about this Toshiba, but it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be about $2,000.
Okay.
Yeah, that's usually what happens when you want lightweight and powerful. You get one or the other for a grand, but yeah. You put them both together, you're close to two. Yeah, the MacBook Air is 3 pounds and 3/4 inch thick and starts at 1,500 for a Core 2. There was a Lenovo right around that 3-pound mark also when the MacBook
there
Air
are a bunch of
out.
Them out there, but I would wait for September and see what comes out. Specifically, I know about the Toshiba, but I'm sure there are others.
And if she's looking for something right now, she can't wait that long. The Lenovo... group, because Lenovo is a subdivision of IBM.
No, they spun off.
No, they spun off. They sold completely
to China.
Yeah, but the quality, though, is
they
still...
Were, the IBM doesn't make laptops or desktops anymore. Lenovo makes them, and that's the group they spun off and was bought by someone in China.
The quality, though, is still there for the Lenovos, though. Yeah.
This is a Lenovo netbook, and it's... Like every Lenovo, it's well built. Yeah.
They can take a beating, and that's the other thing you got to consider when you're, you know, she's going to be on the road, the durability of it. You know, it's nice to have something nice and cute and fancy and everything else, but you also have to think, you know, she's going to be traveling a lot with it, it's going to need durability.
Yeah, they have 8 models under 3 pounds, one 10-inch, one 12-inch, and one 10-inch version, one 13-inch version, and 6 12-inch versions. So that's the other sort of factor is how big a screen do you want, and that adds,
you're not going
to
get much of
price.
Anything over 13 inches, not when it's when you want it light.
She's accepting of, you know, 10 to 12 inches.
Then she's young and has good eyesight. God bless her.
Yeah.
She does. May I ask a second question?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, this is a thumb drive problem. Many, many times at work when I'm plugging a thumb drive into my desktop, which is a Dell running Windows XP, no matter how I attempt to shut down every other application I'm possibly using. When I go to dismount the thumb drive, I keep getting the message that, you know, it's in use at the time, try again later. And nothing I can do short of rebooting my computer will allow the system to, you know, close all the files or close whatever's accessing the thumb drive. And I'm kind of loath to just pulling it out of the USB socket, but I admit I've done that a few times.
What antivirus program are you running?
It's the corporation's, it's a version of McAfee that they have.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Does the, yeah, that could be too. It's running an antivirus scan on that flash drive.
Yep.
Does the flash drive have the U3 system on it?
No, it does not.
Because that sometimes causes problems where it won't unmount because U3 is still running.
But most likely it's the McAfee.
I never thought of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. McAfee and Norton both like to do that.
Yep. Any antivirus program, you can on some of them. Now, if this is some specialized version, you got to go look. But some of them will say, don't scan a USB drive or do a short scan on it.
The other issue, though, he's got to be leery of is because it's in a corporation that if he does that and something gets infected.
Yes.
No, I would wait. Personally, I would wait. I mean, I get that it's a pain in the neck, but I would wait because leaving it in there, you want to scan because that's going to protect you. You know, I don't trust. I'll take stuff from people because I run Linux.
You ain't getting it infected.
A, it gets checked right away, and B, I'm not going to get infected by Windows virus anyway, but... I always cringe whenever somebody hands somebody else a USB drive and says, here, it's on there. Don't do it!
See, that's why...
You don't know where that's been!
That's where mine I don't worry about. Because this one drive that I have, it uses an SD card.
Which you can lock.
Which is locked.
Yep.
Ones that I will trust. Because Dan and I both have these... And we lock them.
Well, but you're coming at it from the other way.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting your drive in strange machines.
Oh, yeah.
So you want that protection. But in terms of other people, you know, I would trust you. But, I've seen people do it all the time. Here, I've got a file.
Where did we get so complacent? I mean, the 5 1/4, the 3 1/2 all had locking mechanisms on them. We were very paranoid that, you know, lock the files down so you're not getting anything on there that you don't want. Protect it so you can't accidentally erase it.
You save half a penny, and we apparently don't care anymore. I don't know that you can... I don't know how easy it is even anymore to find a USB thumb drive with a lock.
You don't. You can't. No, they're all...
It's tricky. Some of the Memorex still do.
The SD card ones are the only ones that I trust.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Keep smiling.
Makes people wonder what you're up to.
Exactly. No, that's an interesting problem, and I don't know an answer to it. You know, I can lock my drive and hand it to you, and I know I won't get infected. But how do you know you won't get infected?
Exactly.
You know, I said, I don't have a problem with it because I'm running Linux in there. You know, the chances are astronomical.
Dan and I are so paranoid, you know, because we rightfully have to be. I mean, we get some clients that, you know, have a lot of important information, personal information, you know, that I don't want to be responsible for infecting or getting anything from them. Because, you know, again, office environments, they sit there and sometimes because they can't always police it, they got folks surfing the internet and doing this and doing that. It's like... Because I had one client one time, well, how do I know I didn't get it from you? I says, it's totally impossible. Well, how do you know that? All those flash drives, I says, easy. And I showed him. And I says, ours are locked. I cannot copy anything from your machine onto mine, nor can I, you know, I can copy my utilities over to yours, but nothing can come back and bite me. Oh, well, then that's pretty safe then. I go, yeah, that's the only way I'll operate.
Safe
hello?
As there is.
That's the only way I'll do it because I can't be going from one company to another and passing it, something around. Uh-uh. Or taking it back to my shop.
Right. Right.
Uh-oh.
Right. And it's people don't seem to get it. It's too bad. I know a guy who clipped the right wire off his off the ribbon cable on his drive and install a switch.
Nice.
So when he did repairs on other people's stuff, he could switch off the writability of his hard drive.
Cool.
Yeah, WebiTech has some forensic drive enclosures that the police use a lot of times to scan suspects' computers because they don't want to have any possibility of contaminating the evidence.
Yep.
But they're available for sale for any tech. So if you want to be able to read a drive without the possibility of writing to it, that's a neat neat option.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, there's you know, a million things that'll do that, but it's tough. People just don't get it.
See, it just scares me that folks are right up there, you know, with the click, 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 clicking.
Yeah, right.
You know, just, or they take this file in or that and then copy it and then take it over to another machine and that gets infected too, and then they wonder, why?
Yeah. WebiTech has this really cool thing called a hot plug, which lets... mostly law enforcement, but anyone, you can transport your computer without ever powering it down.
Cool.
It's a giant battery that you plug into the wall socket that the computer's plugged into.
Right.
And then you cut the wire, the AC wire, in the wall, and the battery feeds the computer.
Nice.
So now you've got a desktop computer running on the battery that you never shut down, so you can wheel it away and do whatever you want with it.
Nice.
For how long?
Until you get it to another power source and can AC power it yourself.
Right. AT&T iPhone users, an iPhone week. Congratulations, all you iPhone owners. AT&T and iPhone users have long complained about the speed and reliability of AT&T's network, but over the last week, upload speeds at AT&T's network have fallen to below 100K in some places, the kind of speed one used to get in dial-up days. On forums at Mac Rumors and in the comments at Gizmodo, iPhone users in some of the nation's biggest metropoli, including New York City, were reporting pitiful upload speeds of below 100 kbps, even as download speeds often stayed above 1 megabit per second. Now, most people don't care about upload speeds, but some people very much do, particularly if you're sending pictures to other people. The degraded upload started last Saturday, according to data from Ookla, the company that runs speedtest.net. Their broadband testing app is installed on more than 3 million iPhones, and they see more than 150,000 speed tests from iPhones daily. For instance, in Seattle, users were getting 525 kbps down on Friday, but that number fell to 97. Minneapolis upload speeds for iPhones were about 600K on Friday, falling to 85 on Friday, late Friday. Speedtest.net recorded similar results for the largest 20 cities in the country. Users described the new speeds as a cap, but it's not clear yet whether this is just a network problem or a new policy. A spokesman for AT&T said the company will explain the situation soon. AT&T's networks have long been a sore point for iPhone users who complain about dropped calls and overwhelmed cell towers, even as the company has tried to bolster the network with the launch of the new iPhone 4G. And a few weeks after the iPad 3G, AT&T retired its unlimited 3G data plans in favor of a two-tier approach, $15 for 200 meg a month and $25 for 2 gig a month, largely interpreted as a way for the company to reduce the strain on their network in anticipation of the iPhone 4 and iPad with wireless subscriptions. The speed of AT&T's network has hampered the iPhone, which to date is exclusively offered in the U.S. on AT&T. Apple has crippled data-intensive app like multimedia messaging and tethering using the phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot for a laptop, since AT&T's network could not handle them, though they have been available overseas. Both are now available for the iPhone in the United States. So I want you to do us a favor. Get that speedtest.net app. It's free. And let us know how fast your iPhone is in the speed test, both download and upload. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free, because we'll take calls from anybody, 1-800-790-0415. I don't have an iPhone, so I can't run that speed test. But I'm sure we have a number of listeners who do, so I guess
we'll
see.
Wait, Steve's got one.
Well, I've got the iPod Touch, not a phone, but sure, let's give it a whirl.
Well, but then you're testing the network, not the so it's an entirely you're going to get an entirely different answer.
Oops.
Oops.
Six.
Six.
An entirely different answer. Entirely different answer.
Well, actually, an entirely different answer would be J.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your upload speed? J. That's an entirely different answer.
Yes.
So we'll hope that there are people frantically at the moment downloading. Of course, if you're in Rochester, I suspect it'll actually be pretty good. But if you're in one of the larger cities, we have people in Toronto and in all kinds of bigger cities, as well as much, much, much smaller cities. What in heaven's name is that thing in your hand there? Is that a stylus with no point?
Yeah, it's a stylus for the iPod Touch. And I'm, oops, and then I drop it, and I got a little clippy thing.
Very nice.
It stores in, yeah.
It's a stylus with no point on it.
Yeah, well, it's got a little spongy thing on it because the iPod is a capacitance sensor, not
right.
a pressure sensor.
Right.
There was a big thing over the winter in Korea. They found out that this popular Korean sausage looks like a hot dog worked as a stylus. So you didn't have to take your gloves off to use your fingertip on your screen.
There is nothing that will convince me that that's A, true, or B, clean.
TMI.
So I don't... that's terrible. The popular Korean sausage. We're going to take a break now. We look forward to your email. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Please don't forgive us. Please don't forgive us. Please don't forgive us. And please give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Sound Bites on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Gentlemen, for that classy suit, come to Stan Suit Emporium. Custom suits from $29, designer labels, and that signature personal service you expect, but not from Stan himself. Stan passed away last week at 47 from the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Stan didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Jazz 90.1, streaming online worldwide at jazz901.org.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have sent children into fits of rage.
I am responsible for a child's speech impediment.
I am the reason a child can't read.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
There's a monster under my bed.
For a child with asthma, monsters are everywhere.
There's a monster in my bathtub.
Something as innocent as a teddy bear or a bath toy could trigger their next asthma attack. Here are ways to help. Freezing stuffed animals to kill dust mites. Drying bath toys to prevent mold. Learn how to end your child's asthma attacks at noattacks.org or call 866-NO-ATTACKS because their next breath is in your hands. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
If you own or run a business, consider promoting your business on Jazz 90.1 through underwriting. When you underwrite the programming on Jazz 90.1, you join with our members in supporting great jazz radio. With a few tasteful statements about your business, thousands of Jazz 90.1 listeners will know who you are, how to reach you, and that you care about great jazz programming. Underwriting is easy and very reasonable. It's good business to do business with Jazz 90.1. For more information on our great underwriting packages, please contact station manager Rob Linton at 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660 or email sales at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 2 minutes after the hour, we're moving into the second hour of Soundbites.
And I got to thank all the folks that did come out Wednesday night to see Rob and I over at the Love and Cup. We had a good time over there. Met some real great folks for their wine tasting there. It was quite the unique experience.
I have to take you and Rob to task for that, since I didn't hear about it until after I got home. I was right around the corner at RIT. I would have come over.
Sorry.
Nobody told me. All right, our next caller is Joe. Where are you calling from, Joe?
Greece, New York.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm also known as VJ, which you answered a question for me last week on AVG Free, and I was being stopped by Jetfire. I took your advice, and I went to the ad delete program. Couldn't find it, but I did find it when I did a search, and it's on my C drive. And according to your answer last week, you shouldn't do it unless you can do it from the ad delete program.
Right.
Have you any got any pearls of wisdom for me?
What is the name of the program again?
I was trying to download AVG Free.
Right.
And I was stopped by Threatfire.
All right. That sounds like have you run Malwarebytes?
I don't have the foggiest idea. I'm an old man, and I don't understand that much about it.
What it is you've got some malware in there that's trying to stop you from downloading other stuff.
And it looks like Threatfire is a real program. It's another antivirus.
Okay.
So AVG is telling you, you can't install my antivirus because you already have an antivirus running. You
let
need to uninstall the other one first.
Okay, let me tell you what I did. There was an option when I get AVG 9. It said recommended and not recommended. I went to the non-recommended, and I was able to download AVG. And I did a scan of the whole computer, and guess what? Instead of taking 2 hours, it only took 30 minutes to do the whole computer. And it seems to be running faster. But I went back on my search, and I still have the Threatfire in there. It's been in there from 2007.
There is a file that will remove Threatfire. And Steve will put this URL up, so you can just go to our website at soundbites.org and click on the link. But it's threatfire.com/files, farther down, there it is, /remove Threatfire, and that's capital R, capital T, capital F. But Steve will put the link up, so you can go to our website at soundbites.org.
Okay. Anything leaving it in there, or is it beneficial for me to take it out?
Take it out.
Yeah, you don't want to run more than one antivirus program,
because
they'll end up fighting with each other.
Okay. All right, we'll do.
So what you do is you go to soundbites.org, click on the links tab, and the number 6 in the links tab is the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. Go there, and you'll see the list of things, and it's already there, the remove Threatfire. It's a download. It's a zip file, so download it, double-click on it, follow the instructions, you're on your way.
Thank you very much.
God bless you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, a lot of programs are like that. It will look, especially antivirus programs, will look to see if you're running another antivirus program, and recommend that you uninstall that one first. Sometimes you can ignore that recommendation and continue on anyway,
right?
Which just sounds like he was able to do.
And indeed, if he's and Joe, if you downloaded Threatfire 3 years ago, I don't know that it's been updating, so it might be time to dance the security tango before you go a whole lot farther doing anything else. I know that'll take a while, but it'll clean your machine out pretty thoroughly.
Because there's others that, other spyware and spam and Trojans that mask themselves as other antivirus software.
So uninstall Threatfire first, then dance the security tango. That's at securitytango.com. Click on the Let's Dance button. Click on Windows Waltz. Print out that page. Follow it step by step. And only at the end of that will it tell you about installing another antivirus program like AVG Free or whatever. And then you do that and you're on your way.
I had a customer a week or so ago got caught by one of the fake antivirus pop-up messages.
Yeah.
And when I'm looking through the machine, she had two different products from McAfee installed. One of them had expired. One of them hadn't. And they had the Norton 360 installer in the computer trying to install that on top of the fake antivirus program that was already installed.
Right. I've seen way too many people with multiple antivirus programs, both legal and illegal, or rather real and fake. And half the time they aren't even running because they expired so long ago. They haven't been updated in a year. So what's the point? You're just slowing your machine down for absolutely no benefit.
Well, I had one client that the Norton ran out. So he said, don't renew. And then he went ahead and got McAfee, put that on there. I says, you got two on here. No, the other one's expired.
It's still running.
It's expired, but it's still running. Oh, it is?
I had a friend who called me up and said, she said, my machine has been running terribly slowly for the longest time. I'm getting sick of it. What can I do? So I went over and took a look at it, and she had both Norton and McAfee running. I'm surprised her machine so much as ran at all.
Yeah, really?
So I uninstalled, and they were both expired, same idea. I uninstalled both of them and installed not AVG, the other one.
Avast.
Avast, yeah. I installed Avast, and her machine was like twice as fast. She now thinks I am that miracle worker I talked about earlier. And I had to tell her it's magic, not miracles.
I was talking to a guy the other week that he got suckered into one of those TV ads. Computer running slow?
Oh,
you know,
my
for,
God.
For $79.99, buy our program and we'll speed it up. And he's had more problems since then. And
yep.
They want to sell him another program for $40, and they want to sell him a support package for another $80. And
reel him on in.
Yeah. Even if it's a real program, they just want to get as much out of you as you can. I like some of those commercials where they'll scan your PC for free and give you this huge list of things you have to fix and pay them for.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, they're always going to find something.
Although Panda Software has both a free version and an online version, which are actually pretty nice. I think I'm thinking of adding them to the Tango because as a one-time over-the-air scan, it's actually pretty nice. And Panda is a well-known company, very respected. I scanned a known clean machine and it found nothing. So, you know, I'm inclined to trust it a little bit. So, I may change that. I may add that in, but it was, but there's a lot of them out there that are just crap and there's nothing, you know, there's nothing to them. They are downloading viruses and charging you to do that.
Yep.
If you're lucky, they just steal your money that one time.
Right. Well, how many times have we read about something that holds your machine hostage?
Yep.
You know, because it's saying, well, you've got a problem and we're not going to let you continue until you pay us $70 to clean it up. Excuse me? I beg your pardon? Well, and then, of course, you know, people say, well, I always tell them just reformat your machine. Well, I haven't backed it up in, okay. You installed a program that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't back your machine up ahead of time. Okay. All right. Uh-huh. All right. Now we've got a separate problem.
Yeah. And then they wonder why, you know, it's going to take that much longer to fix and correct.
I still feel so sorry for this one customer we had. She bought a backup drive and a few days go by. She finally gets around to opening the box, pulled all the pieces out, reading the manual, you know, which no one ever does.
Right.
Plugs it into her main computer, which then dies. Before she had a chance to run the backup.
Ouch.
So, you know, we're figuring the little gremlins inside the main computer are just waiting for her to reach for that USB plug.
Plugged it in, boom.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I've actually been looking at a program called Jungle Disk at jungledisk.com. It's, I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but it's automatic online backups and storage, real-time synchronization for as little as $2 a month, depending on how big a thing you need. And basically what it does is, and again, I haven't played with it yet,
I've heard good things about it for years.
It's 5 gigabytes of storage for free, and it's $2 a month plus the storage free. So you pay $2 a month. If you've got less than 5 gig, it's only $2 a month. That's simply backup. If you do that by hand for $3 a month, it's automated backup, a network drive that looks just like a local disk, so you can just save things right to it, mm-hmm. and they're there. File sync among multiple computers, and that's $3 a month plus the storage fees. And fees, and again, the first 5 gig is free.
Yep.
So depending on what you're, you know, depending on what you're doing, yeah. it's not terribly expensive. And $3 a month, people are going to go, oh my God, I can't afford $3 a month. And yet, you're willing to go commando until your machine breaks and then pay somebody a couple of $100 to get your files back. Yeah, that makes total sense to me.
And if they even can.
Right.
I mean, because you can then, if we can't do it here locally, quite often we got to send it off to like a company like Drive Savers, and then you're talking a couple grand.
Just to look at the thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and of course, again, it comes down to who do you trust,
mm-hmm.
right? And I get that. I mean, you know, who are these jungle disk people, and do you trust them, and all of that stuff. But I'll tell you what, right now, at least from what I have seen so far, and I'm not done looking at it yet. I get that, but so far, it looks like a pretty neat little product.
There's one similar called Dropbox, where the first 2 gigabytes is free.
Right.
And a lot of people use that to sync among multiple computers. You get a folder on your desktop of all your computers.
Right.
And whatever you put in there automatically gets synced to the other computers as well.
Right, right, right.
And if you have modest needs, 2 gigabytes is fine. And then you can pay for more if you need to.
Right. Those of you using Ubuntu, there's the Ubuntu Cloud, which is basically the same idea. You get a limited amount of online storage for free. I use that to back up my Tomboy files. It's a notepad kind of wiki kind of thing. So yeah, there's some pretty interesting stuff there. But it really, folks, we're kind of past the days where. And I hate to be the one to say this, but we're really past the days where you should look blankly at us when we say, when was your last backup? We really are past that now. You can store stuff in Google. You can store stuff in Jungle Disk. You can store stuff in any one of these things we've talked about. And it's either free or really, really cheap. And if you're not doing it, then don't look at us when we say, well, it's going to be $150 to bring back your stuff. When you could have paid $3 a month, do the math.
Or buy yourself even a terabyte hard drive is so cheap nowadays.
We've had a few hundred bucks for that.
We've had a couple of customers recently that are still backing up on the DVD. Good for them. But
Better
than nothing. But it's long and tedious and time-consuming, and you got to break your stuff down into chunks, and hopefully. And then we've had several customers backing up shortcuts to the application instead of backing up their data.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Very, very common with things like Quicken, where you click on the Quicken application icon, it automatically opens your document. So, all right, we'll just back up that Quicken icon. Well, that's not your document. It's like you click on the Word icon, and your Word document opens up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to back up Word, you want to back up your documents.
Yep, right. It's a tough...
Well, and that's where we've gotten into, and folks, you know, well, I want to save my whole hard drive. No, you don't. Because usually if anything crashes, that's Microsoft's way and your computer's way of saying it's time to reinstall fresh anyways. The biggest thing that you want to save is always your documents, your pictures, maybe your songs, and that type of stuff. The stuff that you had to create...
That My Documents folder is all of your stuff. And on the Mac, it's your home folder.
And your programs and all that need to be reinstalled anyways.
Right. And this is the big thing, is that people don't realize how easy it is if you keep everything in the My Documents folder to set up automated backup. Just say, the My Documents folder. Done. Everything under there. And you can set up multiple folders inside that. So you can have a folder for databases and a folder for work and a folder for home. Inside those folders, you can have years or committees or whatever it is you do.
You can
still back
folders.
It all up with one simple command, back up what's in the My Documents folder.
Mm-hmm.
Really not that difficult to do. And then anything you don't want to back up anymore, for example, A committee I was on in 2007. I really don't need that information anymore. Maybe I burn that to a CD and then take it out of the My Documents folder. How hard is that?
Now, here's the other thing, though, for folks. Now, if you have multiple users on the, say, the computer.
Right.
You've got two folks. All right, each one of you are going to have your own My Docs folder. And what you basically do is when you're setting up the setup backup procedure, you're going to wind up having creating literally two folders on this backup drive in each one of those. So if I got John and Mary, each one of them is going to have a John folder, then Mary's folder, and within them will be their My Doc folders.
Right. And you have to then back up using the administrator account,
mm-hmm.
which, as we all know, is probably the one you log in with every day.
For most folks,
anyway,
yeah.
Which bothers me, but there you are. It's an interesting dilemma. Nobody wants to think about backup because nobody wants to think of their machines dying. I think about my machines dying all the time.
It's interesting. We sort of expect our appliances to break. We expect the car to break down and have to go to... We're not happy about it, but we expect it.
Right.
When the computer breaks, it's so shocking, and how could it betray me?
Right. I had that problem yesterday. I upgraded my desktop machine finally, and everything worked properly except one application called Zim, and it's a very cool application, and I really liked it.
Invader Zim?
No. It's a kind of a desktop wiki kind of to-do list kind of weird thing. And I had the backup files, so I was able to just move those to another machine, read everything out again, and put it in a different program. So that worked out pretty nicely for me, actually. Did I just hear the...
I heard a bing, yeah. That was Dave's forehead.
That's very funny. I thought it was the... Now, there's sound.
The music.
That was my head hitting the mic.
There you go. I expected a much, much hollower sound. All right, we're going to take a quick... we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Hardheaded, Kapitos, Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
Do you feel like some live jazz tonight? Then listen for the Club Calendar with Joel Van Buren. Every day at 9:40 a.m., 2:40, 5:40, and 7:40 p.m., Joel tells you who's playing jazz and blues that night and where. You'll always know where the jazz is when you check out the Club Calendar with Joel Van Buren, four times daily on Jazz 90.1 and online at jazz901.org.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy. Agape Physical Therapy offers aquatic therapy at their Brockport location, the Gates Chalet Hidden Valley Pool, and the Webster Aquatic Center. Using the Brudenco method of using water as physical therapy, Agape provides shallow and deep water exercise areas for partial and non-weight-bearing activities. Agape Physical Therapy's experienced staff offers constant care in treating the young and the young at heart, non-athletes and athletes. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
You want insurance? I got insurance. I got so much insurance, I'll insure your insurance.
If only it were this easy to recognize insurance fraud. Unfortunately, you could be a victim and never see it coming. Stop. Call and confirm. Stop before signing paperwork, making a payment, or providing personal information. Call your state insurance department and confirm that the company or agent is licensed to sell insurance in your state. Visit insureyouonline.org today. That's insure, the letter U, online.org.
This is station manager Rob Linton. Do you have a comment or suggestion for Jazz 90.1? Call our feedback phone today at 966-2407. That's 966-2407. Be heard at Jazz 90.1.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m., right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we have Stan on the line. Stan, where are you calling from?
Greece, New York.
And how are things there? I could look out the window and see that. What can we do for you?
Beautiful.
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, I have Windows XP 2nd Edition.
Yeah.
And you're talking about them doing something on the 13th?
Yeah.
Well, you suggested that I could go with Windows 3rd Edition, or I can go with what, Windows 7?
You can do the just download and install the Service Pack 3.
Oh.
Which may already be waiting in your download queue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From Microsoft.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's the deal, Stan. As I said at the top of the show, Windows XP Service Pack 2 is at end of life. Microsoft will no longer support it, which means you will get no more security updates for it.
Okay, so I have AVG free.
No. The internal security updates, which you really need in addition to whatever antivirus you're running. So by moving up to Service Pack 3, you will continue to get those security updates until Microsoft decides to stop supporting Windows XP at all.
Which seems to be August of 2014.
Right, so you've got a couple more years.
So they could do that at any time they want to, actually.
Well, they said August 2014, so you've got a little time yet.
Yeah, and one other thing. I danced a tango with a dial-up thing that I bought from Dave Enright a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was.
Yep.
And will that dial-up, is there anything going to happen on that, or do I have to continue? Can I continue with the dial-up? Get on the internet, or do I have to go with a paid program of some
kind? No, you can still. All you're doing with the dial-up is getting. Once you install any of the items for the Security Tango, like the malware bytes or the super anti-spyware and all that type of stuff, all you're doing with the dial-up is going to the internet to get the updates,
which is a lot faster than downloading the whole program.
Right, right. I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can continue to use it even if you're doing dial-up.
And
yeah.
It's suggested on that disk that I bought, paid $5 for that I don't have to go through the whole program when I go through the Dancing the Tango. It's got like five different categories that I should cover when I'm dancing the tango. Is that okay? In other words, what I'm asking you is...
Did Sam give you the little cheat sheet?
No, all she gave me was the disc.
Okay. We might be out.
I don't know what's on the disc.
Well, what's on the disc is there's
five
categories like malware and spyware and four other ones, which I downloaded.
Well, basically what we do is it's all menu-driven. We've got a lot of different programs on that CD that you can select to use.
Yeah.
Like we've got Firefox on there, and we got Thunderbird, and we got Revo, and in the antivirus softwares, we give you your choice of Avast or AVG, and in the spyware programs, we got the malware bytes and the super anti spyware.
Right.
We got different selections, so you pick and choose.
But I don't have to go through those other things, just those five different categories, possibly.
Well, yeah, you just pick and choose what programs you want
to
put
on. In each of those five categories, there's two or three programs you can choose from.
I gotcha.
Yeah, like there's also in there, we've got Adobe Reader, and the Flash program, if you don't have Flash.
Reader and Flash have been real big security holes.
I would use Foxit.
And they're they get updated not fast enough.
Yeah. Well, okay, guys.
All right, Stan.
And Dave, I used to work with your uncle. He was Santa Claus.
Oh, my Uncle Dick.
Dick, yeah, I loved him.
Yeah, he, God rest his soul. I mean, yeah, he was like you, Nick, one of the original Santas up at Sibley's.
Then I must have met him.
Yeah, he and I were Santa's managers helper. At the Polish mm-hmm. Falcon Club years ago.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And Diane, I guess she's still around.
Yeah, I just saw her. Matter of fact, I was just over to her house this past week, helping her up get her computer up and running again. But yeah. As folks well know, and they've heard me talking over the years, my dad is one of 19, and yes, my uncle used to be one of Santa's helpers.
Santa's helpers.
And, I mean, this guy, though, thing of it is, he didn't need any padding.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
man.
Me too.
He
I didn't.
A beautiful man.
He got the Christmas. It was from Thanksgiving on was his big thing, because he'd sit there and he'd go to more places, and come Christmas Day, he was just literally going Christmas Eve to Christmas Day. He was literally going from house to house.
Yeah, he came over to our house, and it was fantastic.
Oh, he lived for it.
He was perfect.
Yeah, he was.
I was Santa's helper both at Sibley's and at Midtown.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Midtown was a thrill.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, listen, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank
God
you.
Bless.
Take it easy.
You too. Have fun.
Yeah, back.
One of the things I think, if you haven't done it already, there should be some sort of text-based README file at the root directory of the CD so that people can...
There is a README file on there.
And no one ever reads it.
Well, that should tell people then what, you know,
I've actually seen
needed
some,
and what's just useful.
I've seen some of those that say, do not open or don't read.
No, we've got a README, no, we've got a README file on there.
The Apple TV, it's Apple Week in the news. The Apple TV set-top box will offer 99-cent TV episodes that can be streamed, not downloaded, according to sources. If true, Apple will be cutting the price of TV episodes in half and competing more squarely with rivals such as Netflix, Hulu Plus, and Amazon's Video On Demand. Currently, Apple TV only allows you to download TV episodes from iTunes and charges an average $1.99 per episode. According to reports from New TV, Apple TV's restrictions on content would be similar to current iTunes rentals. You would have 30 days to view your television episode and then have unlimited access to the episode for 24 hours after you start viewing it. It's not clear if any content producers are already on board with Apple's rumored streaming plans, and that may be the biggest hurdle for Apple to overcome. Right now, television networks, and especially channels like NBC, ABC, Showtime, and HBO, sell individual episode downloads on iTunes for $1.99 to $2.99, depending on whether you buy standard or high-def videos. Entire past seasons and passes to current television seasons are also available and typically range in price from $10 to $40. It's not clear how lucrative television content sales on iTunes are. Apple recently reported $1.1 billion in net sales for the iTunes store during the second quarter of 2010. I've officially now stopped worrying about Apple making money. If I ever did, but you have to.
Yeah, that was $1 billion just on the iTunes store.
Right, and only for one quarter.
And one quarter, yeah.
Right, but you have to wonder how enthusiastic content producers will be with this plan, especially when you consider Apple's past flights and with television execs over fights with television execs over pricing, most notably the temporary split between Apple and NBC in 2007. Then again, with the proliferation of other television streaming services, the time may be ripe for an iTunes rental deal. In fact, Apple's entrance into streaming individual television episodes could help the industry overcome a growing problem with piracy. I'm not sure how. Speculation over Apple TV has been a recurring theme in recent months. In August 2009, rumors circulated that Apple was looking to offer a television subscription service to compete directly with the cable companies. Most recently, rumors leading up to June's Worldwide Developers Conference suggested that a refreshed Apple TV was on the way and would come with minimal internal storage and store all your Apple TV purchases online instead of on the set-top box's hard drive. The rumored Apple TV would be based on iOS 4 and cost just $99. The Apple TV's current base model costs $230. Of course, we haven't actually seen any of that. It's just one of the many, many, many rumors. So our question to you, do you have an Apple TV? Do you want one? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
Oh, last night, remember when we were talking about Second Life?
Yeah.
When we were in Second Life, I had a friend, she was having an issue. You know, it's one of those, you know, once you dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
It turns out... a while back, I suggested to her, you know, she told me what video card she had. And I said, well, have you updated the video drivers? Well, she went ahead and downloaded it.
That's a start. It's a good start.
That's as far as it got.
Yeah.
So then she was still having issues in that. And, you know, I was going back and forth with Second Life and IMing her because she was in another build. And she came back later and said, I wound up going back. And remember that file that you told me to go ahead and update? Turns out I didn't, so I finally did click on it and do it. And gee, everything is running a lot faster. Huh.
What an amazing thing that is.
I see that a lot. You go to the downloads folder and you'll see flash install -1, flash install -2, -3, -4.
Yeah,
you've downloaded it 20 times. You've never installed it.
Yeah, they just didn't install it. So once she did install it, she goes, ooh.
You
no
know,
more leg.
About that Apple TV, yeah, right. Yeah, about that Apple TV thing, I've been flirting with getting a Roku box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's for my wife or my daughter, I'll spend any amount of money in a heartbeat. For me to spend just $100, it's all it is.
Yeah.
I have to agonize over it for 8 or 9 months before I get it.
No.
What I did find out this week is that Ustream is also available on the Roku box.
And a lot of the other internet television, IPTV, so-called.
Right. Yeah. A lot of those are on there. Netflix, which is what I was originally going to buy it for.
This weekend, Leo Laporte's Twit Network is on there.
Well, pretty much everything on Ustream, pretty much.
Yep.
Are we on there?
No. I don't think we're big enough.
I beg your pardon?
Hmm? The longest running computer show in the known world.
Your pardon?
Yeah. Did you watch Haven last night after Eureka?
I don't watch Stephen King anything.
But back to the question, why aren't we?
That's right. Why aren't we? You're in charge of that.
I looked into the Ustream. They have some fact about on the website. You can search and find anyone on the iPhone version. It's only the highlights or not highlights. Highlighted
high
shows.
Traffic, yeah.
High traffic shows. Yeah, and they had a fact about how do I get my show listed, and the answer was basically to get more people to watch it.
So listen, everybody out there. Your job is at some point during the week, go to ustream.com, find Soundbites, and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Get 20 of your friends to do the same thing every week.
Got to get bumped up there.
Yep.
So we get bumped up there, and we can be on the channel.
In a similar vein, Hulu has announced their Hulu Plus subscription service. Hulu is a great website for catching up on TV shows you've missed. Especially if you don't start watching a new show soon enough. And, they're showing Ron on, is it Ron or Ran? Kurosawa.
It's Ron, but not R-O-N.
I know, R-A-N, yeah, Ron. Akira Kurosawa just celebrated, well, the rest of us celebrated his 100th birthday, and the Dryden Theater locally is showing a bunch of his movies, but that's on Hulu, too. So if you want to catch up on TV shows that you may have missed, Hulu's a great resource for that, but it typically only goes back 4 or 5 episodes.
Right.
So if you want to go back to the beginning of a series, it's difficult. So now the Hulu Plus is going to be $10 a month, and you can go back as far as it is. So they're sort of competing with live television too, and a lot of people have talked about canceling their cable TV subscription and doing everything online between Hulu and Netflix and iTunes. Ooh, he's excited about something. More Kurosawa?
Roku for $2 a month, I can get Kung Fu Theater.
Oh,
yes, please.
This other guy's series looked pretty cute, too, with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. It reminds me a lot of The Good Guys with Colin Hanks and Bradley Whitford, another cop series, the bumbling old-time detective and then the new young guy that's being dragged down behind him. But Haven was interesting last night, too. It's a weird – actually reminds me a whole lot of Eureka. A federal agent goes to this small town in Maine. Because it's Stephen King, and weird things happen, and that's how Eureka started with the U.S. Marshal going to the small town in Oregon, and weird things happened.
Listen,
but it's really neat being able to catch up on a lot of this stuff on the internet, and it's so easy to plug your computer into the television, or now with the Roku box, you plug that into your television. See, what I haven't gotten around to figuring out is how well it works with Time Warner's digital cable box, because Time Warner is notoriously difficult to work with their box.
Right.
But that's the whole point of Roku, is you plug it into the internet, you plug it into your cable box, and you can watch anything
on... Or you plug it into your TV directly, which is why I bought the thing from you.
Yeah.
Listen, listen, everybody out there, if you own a Roku box, call and tell me what you think. Because I'm really on the fence here. So it's 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299. or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. I'm begging you. I want to know what a Roku box works like for you.
Well, then there's the Sling box, which is almost the opposite of the Roku.
Right.
That takes what you have on your TV and sends it out to the internet. So
right.
when you're not at home, you can watch all that same
right,
stuff.
Right, but I want to be able to see this stuff. So if you've got a Roku box, please give us a call. Our next caller is Kevin. Where are you calling from, Kevin?
I am calling from Greece.
And what can we do for you?
Well, I didn't catch the top of the show where you were talking about Windows XP Service Pack 3.
Yeah.
So in order to have Microsoft security updates, I got to update to that.
Yes,
right?
You do. And it's not just their antivirus security updates. It's all the internal DLLs and files and all the stuff you think of as the Microsoft updates.
Right.
They're not going to be available for Service Pack 2 anymore. You have to have Service Pack 3.
Okay, so go to the Microsoft website and look for...
Well, you should be able to, just within Microsoft XP, and you
Windows.
Should be able to just go, say, Windows Updates.
Right.
Click on that, and it'll take you right to the update thing, and it's going to say that you want to...
It may already be waiting for you, but since Service Pack 3 is like a 300 or 400 meg download, it doesn't install automatically.
Okay.
So
now,
you may have
you
to go in that.
Before to the other guy who called in about that, I thought I heard him say dial-up. He said something about a disk, and David.
That was a whole separate issue.
Yeah, no, that's a whole different issue with the Security Tango and updating the Tango program data files.
There's a bunch of stuff you get with the Security Tango.
Yes.
And he has dial-up, so instead of downloading it all for 30 or 40 hours, he went to Dave's shop and picked up a CD.
Right. Well, my recollection, okay, so because he has dial-up, he can't update XP Service Pack 3.
Yes, he can.
It's just going to take forever.
Well, and it'd probably time out along the way.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when Service Pack 2 came out.
It's like it's really hard to do on dial-up. I think that's why I never did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I have DSL, I can probably do it.
Do it today.
When Service Pack 2 came out, you could order a free disk from Microsoft. But
right.
I don't think they do that for Service Pack 3.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Yep.
So at work, on your work's high-speed internet, download the standalone Service Pack 3 installer, which is 500 or 600 megs because it runs on any computer.
Throw it on a CD. And
burn it to your own CD.
Listen, we have a disturbing trend of people missing the top of the show. I cannot believe you people are not sitting there at a quarter of waiting for the show to start. This is very depressing. All right, our next caller is Sean. Where are you calling from, Sean?
I am calling from the city. How are you guys?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm lovely. I would just like to highly recommend a Roku box to anybody that has a desire to stream stuff to their television without having to pay a ton of money.
Right.
I do not have a cable box. I just have like the sub-generic cable basically for local channels because of reception issues. But the box is probably one of the easiest wireless devices I've ever owned. The high-def picture is pretty decent. Never really had a lot of luck with the 5.1 sound. I have hooked up a optical cable from the Roku to my receiver. I haven't done it in a while. I know they just have a new interface out, but I was able to get surround, but not 5.1. But pretty decent.
All right, cool. So have you got Netflix or Amazon or
I have Netflix.
And it just you just put stuff in your Play Now queue and there it suddenly is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can have up to 500 things in your Watch It Now queue. It's a really, really incredibly robust amount of things that you can get on there. I think a lot of people are understanding that
right.
Everything Roku has.
Thank you, Sean. We have to take a break. I apologize, but we got to
no
go.
Problem.
Back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites right here on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Jazz 90.1 appreciates your support through membership. But did you know you can support Jazz 90.1 in other ways as well? For example, by donating your old vehicle. When you donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1, we receive cash and you get the tax deduction. We even come pick it up. To find out more, call 966-5299. When the time comes to change vehicles, think of Jazz 90.1 and call 966-5299.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit, host of The Smart Set. Friends, we get dozens of requests on The Smart Set, but we come back each week anyway, broadcasting live from Rochester's hottest night spots. The Cowtow Room, the Foaming Bulldog, the Bar None Saloon, the Blue Buddha Lounge. Anywhere the best bands in the biz are belting out the tunes Dance Mad Bob's Love. And what bands? The Royal Crown Review, Lee Presson and the Nails, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Lave Smith and a Red Hot Skillet Liquors, and of course, His Highness of Heidi-Ho, Rochester's own Cab Calloway. Experience it all in the relative safety and comfort of your own home every Saturday night from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
When I was a kid, when I was listening to the radio all the time, it was like a portal to the world for me. You know, I grew up in a small town in Georgia, and you know, it's like a connection to the outside world. You know, it was a special thing.
New artist Tim Brantley loves radio because it connects every day. Radio, always on, always free, always something new. Go to radioheardhere.com.
Hi, I'm Phil Dodd, and I think you'll like the mix of music I play every weekday afternoon. I play today's best artists as well as the classic performers who made jazz America's own special art form. I also feature the standards, songs that have stood the test of time and are constantly being reinvented by jazz musicians. So please join me, Phil Dodd, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, right here on Jazz 90.1.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do New York a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA, America's Wireless Companies, and the National Safety Council.
Hi, this is Sid O'Connor. Join me Sunday mornings from 7 until noon, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I want to thank Sean for recommending Roku. I've been looking at the channels, all the free channels, of course, and, of course, Kung Fu Theater. There, we don't have a Kung Fu channel on Time Warner, do we?
Nope.
Some of the others do, but not Time Warner. I have never made a secret of the fact that my vice is bad Kung Fu movies. Bad dubbing, over-the-top action, and that's exactly what
way
the
out of
channel,
mouth isn't synced.
Yeah. I love those things. They're so cheesy. I love them. And and I would love to be able to just, you know, it's $2 a month. I spend that on rentals a day.
Didn't the Shaw Brothers put out like 10 movies a week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
and
that?
Most
yeah.
of them looked like they were put out, you know, 10 yeah. a week. That's right. Yeah, nobody will notice that. Just keep filming. My favorite stuff. God, I love that stuff.
Oh, I got to put in another shameless plug again.
Uh-oh.
Well, I was at, Rob let me do the Thursday night shift from 6 to 9, which was a lot of fun. Got to play a lot of great jazz. Like I say, I was telling folks, you know, yeah, I do this here on Saturdays, but to turn me loose now into the jazz library, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
And I'm going to be turning me loose again this coming Tuesday. So if you got a chance, you know, tune in this Tuesday from 6 to 9 again, and who knows what I'll be playing.
Certainly not you. Before we get back to the phones, be very careful, folks. Two iPhone app developers have spotted what appears to be a hacking of the App Store rankings by a rogue developer. The rankings in the books category of the U.S. iTunes Store features 40 out of 50 apps by the same app developer Thwatween. What more concerning is that it seems individual iTunes accounts have been hacked to make mass purchases of that one developer's apps. This does not appear to be one specific developer nor one particular set of apps. Some users who have had their accounts hacked have left comments on the apps they have supposedly bought, complaining that up to $200 has been spent on apps they never personally bought themselves. There have been reports of $600 plus spent on some users' accounts. Now, one of the things that you really want to do, and Apple is looking into this and dealing with it as well, but we recommend you check your recent purchases, remove your debit card from being stored on iTunes, and change your password immediately.
Use a good, unguessable password.
Right. So how carefully do you check your iTunes account? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. I told my daughter that I would buy her one song a week. She could buy all the songs she wanted. She had to pay me back for them.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy her one song a week. So, of course, she's only buying one song a week. But I'm very careful. I look at the thing. I get the email. I very carefully check. I got something last week that I did not understand, and it was $3. And I called her, and she said, "Dad, remember we talked about that?" "Oh, yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. As long as she remembers, then reminds me, and I get it."
Yep.
And so I've been very careful to check my iTunes account. But you got to be very careful. You got to be worried about it. And, of course, now she's got the iPod Touch. So now she's stumping to say, "Dad, can I buy apps if I need to?" Well, if they're $2 and instead of the song, sure. I'm funding this to the point of $2 a week.
There's so many apps.
That's 100. Yeah, I'm funding it to about $100 a year. So you deal with the rest of it.
I went to look up a list of the Shaw Brothers films. Yeah. And I can't count that high.
Exactly.
They're still producing films.
Yeah, they are. All right. Our next caller is Lorraine. Where are you calling from, Lorraine?
Around Detroit.
And what can we do for you?
Well, I just turned on a while ago, and I'm one of the ones that misses the first part. because I was in the car. Did I hear you right that if you use wireless and you're doing your banking that you're in trouble?
Yes and no.
What is not secure?
Right. It might not be. There's two ways you know. Is this your own wireless or wireless somewhere else?
My own wireless.
And have you
I see a little lock down at the bottom.
That you want that lock.
Okay.
That lock means that also you can look up at the address bar, and if it says HTTPS,
all right, okay.
That S stands for secure.
Okay.
And if that lock is locked, not open, but locked, then you're secure. Otherwise, don't go there.
Okay, because I heard that and I thought, oh my goodness.
The other half of the equation there is that your own Wi-Fi network has to be locked separately. You have to put a password on your Wi-Fi to encrypt the data. Otherwise, anyone driving by your house.
I'm 82, so I'm not real clever with the computer, but I do enjoy it.
Yep.
Well, and you can set that up semi-easily yourself, or you could hire somebody like Dave to come to your house. I don't know if you guys do home.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave or Steve can come to your home and set that up. That shouldn't take more than an hour altogether. I mean, what with driving and everything. Yeah. So it shouldn't be that terribly expensive.
And that prevents neighbors or, you know, just people driving by in the street from using your network.
Yeah, when you started talking about that, I thought, oh, dear, okay.
Yep.
And it's a big...
Well, that sounds great.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a big concern at public Wi-Fi hotspots. I just heard a story last week where someone went to a bar and that because they knew there was Wi-Fi there and asked the bartender what the password is. And they said, we got tired of telling people the password, so there's no password anymore.
Yeah, that was me.
So everyone, and even if there was a password, everyone at the bar is now on one single network.
Right, just because there is a password doesn't make it secure if you've got the same password as everybody else. All right, our next caller is Ed. Where are you calling from, Ed?
I'm in Henrietta. Gents, thanks for being on.
Thanks.
My question is, I was looking at a Toshiba laptop, rather, and I just, my question was, they give you like 6 months free, I think, spyware and something else. I don't have the paper in front of me. I'm sorry, I'm not a library. My question would be, is a firewall the same thing as spyware? Would you have to get something else in there also?
No, they're two very different things. An anti-spyware program looks for spyware on your computer and removes it, just like an antivirus program looks for viruses on your computer and removes them. A firewall, on the other hand, is you can think of it as physically a firewall like in your car. It separates you from the engine, and this separates you from bad stuff on the internet. So they're three very different things: antivirus, anti-spyware, and a firewall.
And how do you get on the internet?
Rarely, maybe, I don't know, maybe a couple, two or three times a week.
No, what I'm saying is, do you use Roadrunner, DSL?
No, I use the, actually I use the one at the library. I think they have like Moxilla or...
Well, then they're already behind.
Are you using their computers or do you have your own computer?
I was thinking about getting for myself because I don't have a... I'm not on, so I have to go someplace where they had Wi-Fi.
That's the other major security issue, is that if you're using a public computer, you have no idea what the guy ahead of you did to install spyware on that public computer. So don't do any banking, any purchasing, any security conscious of anything on a public computer.
Right. And if you get your own, you will definitely want antivirus, anti-spyware, and a firewall.
And there are good free ones, so you don't have to worry about paying for the one that comes with your computer.
Right. In
but
point
you,
of
but
fact,
you do have to make sure that when it does expire that you put in another one.
Right. We often recommend the stuff at thesecuritytango.com. There's a list of free antivirus, anti-spyware, and firewall programs that you can download and install, and they're absolutely free. You do still have to update them. For example, if you do AVG or Avast, they expect you to register, but it's a free registration, and they send you a password, a login key, registration key. So you can do that once a year and get your system updated and renewed. It's free, but they just want to know who's using their software.
Now I didn't know that. That's kind of a you just made a comment that kind of scared me. You said don't buy. I've used the public computer at the library. You said don't buy. I've already bought stuff with a credit card. And you say not to do that. Then
right. That public computer could be infected, and there could be keystroke loggers. There could be password grabbers. You don't know what's been put on that computer.
Right. Most of the library systems are clean. The people know how to keep them clean, but you can never be 100% sure. Yeah.
It could have been the guy immediately ahead of you installed something, and the library staff haven't found it yet.
Right.
It's hard to do, but the point is, it's a public computer, and you shouldn't trust it. The library staffs are very, very good about this, but you shouldn't trust it.
So that's good to know. Great.
Yeah, I would be very careful about keeping track of what goes on my credit card.
Although the irony there is that you hand your credit card to the waiter who walks away with it for 20 minutes.
Right.
It's just about the same security.
Right.
You say the Security Tango gives you these other supplemental items that you need, and you just download them. Is that right?
Right. The antivirus, the anti-spyware, and the firewall. So go to securitytango.com, and it'll tell you all about it.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
There you go, Ed. Is that it?
That'd be it.
Holy mother of pearl. Well, folks, you've wasted another 2 hours of your life. Those of you who actually heard the top of the show have wasted 2 hours of your life. The rest of you have wasted less. Congratulations. We're done for another week. I don't know why I made that sound so bad when it was so good that you wasted less time. I seem to be yelling at you for wasting less time. Thanks to Sean for recommending that Roku box. I'll dither for a while, but I'll probably end up getting it. I want to thank everybody who called in. We'll be back next week right here. Don't forget to listen to Dave on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. We'll be back here next Saturday at noon. You've been listening to another couple hours of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you right back here next week, whether you like it or not.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.